Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday afternoon. As always, 251-343-0106. I will try to get to your text before the conclusion of today's program. So make sure you stay right where you are, and we'll respond accordingly. Joining us now is the segment we do this every week about this time. We get to hear from our returning champion, the one and only State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in South Alabama.
Always. Well, it's good to hear. Sevilla, you're in South Alabama, where we were convening last time. You have since fled the swamp, if you will, right?
Yeah, Montgomery in the summertime is not a fun place to be for anyone.
It literally is kind of right there in the Alabama River, but it's a good place to visit. Maybe not spend a terribly long time. But anyway, the Montgomery of my youth, it's a much better place than it used to be. I'll just leave it there. Senator, let's kick it off here. The Algott meeting on Saturday, voting to close primaries. Is that sort of step in the right direction? Did they handle that properly by leaving it open-ended for you guys in the legislature to work out the details?
Well, it is incumbent upon the legislature to ultimately make that decision. And you and I have talked about this before. You know, I believe that party primaries are a party function and that we should only be allowing Republican party members to participate in a party function like a primary. Now, the question becomes, and it's a reasonable one to have, then why is the public funding a party function? And which the public certainly does. And that's a stickier question and one that I think that the state party probably steered away from for a reason.
Well, yeah, I guess they could have really – well, how much weight does a Republican Party resolution care when we get into the nuance of it? But it's at least a signal to you guys to say, well, the Republicans want this. To me, it's not clear that Democrats want this at all. Anthony Daniels thinks it will result in Democrat majorities in the next two decades if Republicans go down this path. I don't believe that one bit. But there does seem to be this opposition or this reluctance from a lot of people that used to be Democrats that are now Republicans. Is there anything to read into that?
There is. I'm shaking my head yes as you say that. I mean that is something that is striking to me, is that the hue and cry from folks seems to be from either current Democrats or Republicans that used to call themselves Democrats or Democrats that now call themselves Republicans. I guess it depends on how you look at it there. But listen, as far as I'm concerned, if you used to have a D by your name or you've got a D by your name right now, I'm not really all that interested in your opinion on the matter. The parties in Alabama have changed dramatically in the last decade plus. We've seen a huge shift, and while that the argument for open primaries may have held more merit a decade ago, I think that time has long passed. We are a single-party state, and that means that the Democrats have wisely figured out that in order to influence elections, they have to do so in the primaries, and therefore they are playing very heavily in our primaries. We've seen evidence of that, and we've seen evidence of that being effective. And that means that we need to adapt and change, just as the Democrats are doing. And I think that's really the only way to move forward.
Right, Republicans had to do it with open primaries. I mean, when the party was transitioning and you're trying to grow the Republican footprint in the state and you're trying to make it where you have a lot of legacy Democrats they switch to R, and you're trying to get control of, you know, these quasi-legislative bodies like school boards and city council, well, you don't do municipalities or nonpartisan, but county commissions, et cetera, you had to do it that way, right? You had to have some flexibility in the system.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, when you're moving cattle from one field to another, you open the gate, let it through. That doesn't mean you leave the gate open, you know, shut it behind you. And I think that's probably what we need to do. You know, it's clear that the Republican Party is dominant in the state. That transition has occurred now. To continue to allow it to be an open system, I think is a mistake. You know, it'll do nothing but really dilute the influence of movement conservatives even further. You know, the criticism, if you will, of the Alabama legislature over the last number of years is that there are still a lot of, you know, progressive policies from floating around out there. I think we've made significant strides, but there are still a lot of folks that that kind of hang on to those old Democrat Party tendencies, and I think that we need to go ahead and complete the transition that was started in 2010.
Let's move on to something else. It's got to become a interesting topic. I don't know if we could quite call it hot. We had Arthur Orr, your colleague, on the show earlier this week, and you probably saw the Daily News report that really initially kicked this off, talking about some kind of tax rebate or whatever. But talking to him about it, and I don't know if that is the right or wrong tax relief, but it's clear it's a step in that direction. He seems to be the only one that's really making a proposal right now. I mean, maybe that's to come. You know, 2023, the Senate march is a long way away. You still got to get through the general election. But looking at tax relief proposals out there, what do you make of his? Is that a starting place?
It's definitely a starting place, and it's very measured. I mean, a one-time tax rebate is just what it is. It's a one-time shot in the arm and a one-time recognition that we have more revenue than we really need at the state level. It doesn't go necessarily as far as I would like to see tax cuts. We have seen, particularly the Education Trust Fund, which obviously Chairman Orr is the chair of that committee, the budget chair of that committee. We have seen it balloon year over year. That costs go up and its liabilities go up, but this one-time rebate is one time. It doesn't cut taxes overall. And as we continue to see growth in that fund, I think we need to start talking about, cutting taxes and not just a one-time rebate. But again, it is a fiscally conservative measure. It's a responsible measure to say, and I'll credit Senator Orr with this, it's a responsible measure to say, look, we've got money right now. We don't know if we'll have extra money in the future. We don't want to overdo it. That's fair as well. And if that's the measured step that the body's willing to take, that's certainly a step in the right direction in my mind. But I remain convinced that as long as you continue to give government money, it will take everything you'll give it. It is a beast. And if we don't curtail the revenue coming into government, it will continue to grow year over year. And that's why I'd like to see us maybe in some areas cut things back year over year and not just one time.
Now, to me, this is what I spoke with Senator Orr about. The bureaucracy in Montgomery, they view it as their money. And I guess it's sort of this because so much of what the state government brings in is already earmarked before it even gets in the bank account or whatever, that you get a lot of pushback on about any kind of tax relief from those that work and run state government, right?
You do. And listen, that's a bureaucrat, mission. And it is. It always has been. They're going to grow their particular agency, their particular department, whatever it is they're in charge of. They're going to want their employees to be very well paid. They're going to want the newest and baddest, toy, tool, or truck. And that's the nature of bureaucrats. We're not going to change that. But it's important for legislators to understand that and to also understand that our job as conservatives is to check that and to be ever vigilant of that. That's not to say that revenue in some sectors needs to increase. Road funding is one of those. But it is incumbent upon us to also look at areas where there is excess revenue and to make corresponding cuts in those areas. And I think that's going to be something that the legislature needs to look very, very hard at in the coming session.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not really anything that it's not really necessarily a Baldwin County thing or anything at state level. Have you ever played Topgolf?
I have. I'm not a very good golfer, so that's not one of my my things necessarily. I will congratulate the city of Mobile and Landing that project. Does get into a question about economic development incentives, of course, and where they're appropriate and where they're not. Good for Mobile on that. Of course, yesterday, I do like the juxtaposition, if you will, the groundbreaking of a $75 million investment in Baldwin County with the Baldwin Preparatory Academy, which is visionary, will change the delivery method of education, specifically career tech education, in Baldwin County and really in the state, to make sure the kids are career ready as soon as they get out of high school and can be productive members of our communities on day one.
Yeah, but I don't. You're right about the economic development aspects of should we really be handing out corporate welfare at the municipal level for something like Topgolf? I think it's a. It's at least a worthy thing for a community, right? I mean, it's not Mobile's had the it's like Lucy and the Charlie Brown and the football, and it's had the rug pulled out from under it so many times. But aside from the governmental challenges or questions, if you will, it's going to be, I think, a good thing for the city.
Again, I congratulate them on that. That's a fun win, a feel good win for sure. I'm glad Baldwin County is focused on generational change in education delivery methods and making sure that our kids know the difference between an amp and an ohm and a volt and why, and can read a span table and sweat a fitting, that they understand IT infrastructure and security, that they are ready to go into the healthcare field. We have 10,000 jobs that need to be filled in Baldwin County tomorrow that do not require or need a college education, and Baldwin County is going to be on the cusp of getting those kids ready to go into the workforce as soon as they get out of high school.
You're just not going to take my bait on that one. All right, well, we'll move along. Unemployment rate 2.6%. Great, fine. I had Representative Garrett on yesterday, and this is something the labor participation rate in this state, I think, is skewing that unemployment number, making it look low, that we have a real problem. And we're kind of at a point right now in the state, I feel like, where we have job availability. We just don't have a worker availability, that the focus needs to shift to that, right?
You're 100% correct. I don't even talk about the unemployment rate in meetings anymore. I think it's irrelevant. It's just not something that I'm interested in hearing about when we have a labor participation rate that is as low as it is. One of the challenges that we face in bringing industries to Alabama, and I hear it over and over again, is where are the workers that are going to take the jobs that we're advocating for? And the problem is they're here. They're just not in the workforce. Not to be a broken record, but that's why I really like what the Baldwin Preparatory Academy is doing, is trying to answer that call. It was instrumental, the concept of it and how far along the concept was instrumental in securing a $2.5 billion investment from Novellus in North Baldwin County, with over 1,000 high paying jobs ready to go, with the promise of future investment. But those are important steps to take in order to get our workforce engaged. The other thing that we can do, and you and I have talked about this before too, is to, while there may not be a governmental fix to the labor participation rate, we can certainly stop doing things that encourage people to stay home. We can stop as many of the free ride handout type programs that exist, that may have come into vogue during the pandemic or even before that, and encourage, if you will, folks to get back to work and back to being productive members of society as opposed to sitting on the sidelines.
Well, you know, and that is something that holds us back, right? That this is the side of the equation that they're going to have to deal with, because you can bring every auto manufacturer in the world to Alabama. If there's nobody to work at these plants, then that's going to keep them from coming here. You could throw incentives. You could throw promises of infrastructure, tax abatement, whatever. But if you don't have people to work at these places, then they're not going to locate there.
You're exactly right. And in the economic development projects that I've been involved in the last really 8 years or so, that has been what has held Baldwin County back, and is the ability to provide a workforce. It's not the incentive package. It wasn't the land at the mega site, right? It wasn't the fact that the site was truly shovel ready. The pad was already there. It was workers and where we are going to get them. And Jeff, that's in the fastest growing county in the state that was the concern. That's in the state that's seen almost half or the county that's seen almost half of the state's entire population growth, that was the concern. So we have got to figure out how to get these folks back engaged in the workforce. I think the first step, again, is to quit providing incentives to not be in the workforce, quit providing excuses to not be in the workforce, and then to pivot and make sure that as our population ages, we've seen that conversation happening and those studies come out, as our population ages, that we are making sure that our kids are ready to be productive members of society. That's the whole point of our entire education system that we spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on, is to make sure they're ready to go to work. And I think that with some impressive leadership from the school board and our economic development alliance, and yes, our industry here in Baldwin County, we are doing just that.
So we've got to leave it there. As always, we appreciate your time, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. I'll see you at Topgolf sometime.
Hey, I'll buy. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Too much, baby.